I'm Tommy Gimler, coming to you live from a place where teeth are optional, and if you don't have at least three kids by the time you're 19, you are considered a loser. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series, and oh, baby, do we have a show for you.
The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be back in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series. You know, if you talk to the locals, they say that fracking has saved this town. Fracking alone has saved the town of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. But by the looks of things, it hasn't saved people from sleeping with their sisters. That's for sure. Lots of fun, the locals here. I'll tell you what, they love it when kids come from all over the planet to play the great game of baseball. It's a fun week and a half here in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We're going to have a great time. But one of the best parts about the Little League World Series is that you know when you turn on the four letter every single year and you're watching these kids just give it all they've got to get to the finals, you know that it's time for NFL football. It's right around the corner, and that's where we begin today's hot mess.
The hot mess.
So since we've never brought in one dime of revenue here at the Daily Upper Decker, find us at dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and of course you can find us on the Vine. Since we've never brought in one dime of revenue, it was kind of hard to fly Brady Matthews and Adam Furberg or the fabulous T-Shawn or Barry Murphy or Gary Dudak or any of those guys out to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So I'm riding solo this week. So what I did instead is I had our friends and some fellow comics who are out on the road watching their favorite teams call in to let us know what's going on with their favorite teams in their training camps and then what we should look for in the upcoming 2016 season. So what we're going to do is we're going to go live right now to Seattle with Sean, and he's going to tell us what to expect this year in the NFC West. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
Good evening, Daily Upper Decker. This is Sir Sean Connery calling in with a prediction for the 2016 season of the Seattle Seahawks. The only reason why this team is going 10-6 is because the rest of the division sucks. Look around. You've got the San Francisco 49ers. They're shite. What have they got? No clue who their quarterback's going to be. And apparently they've got this Kaepernick, who's apparently German. That's laughable. And we have the Los Angeles Rams. Really, the Rams. And Los Angeles, again, laughable. Then the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are great at times, but not this time. They're due for major upsets in 2016. So that's how the Seahawks go 10-6. They've also got this Russell Wilson at the helm. How cute is this man? He might be cuter than Tony Romo, but I digress. This Richard Sherman, who's sick of his shit, eh? I am. Play the damn game. So there it is. 10-6, Seattle Seahawks. You dud guys. Go fuck yourselves.
Well, we could have done without that last part there, but that was Sean. Sean, thank you so much for calling in to tell us how you think the NFC West is going to play out in 2016. I like the Seahawks at 10-6. Got to like it there. You know, the division is a lot tougher than what he's given it credit for. For starters, let's look at the San Francisco 49ers. I don't think you can sleep on the 49ers solely because of the Chip Kelly factor. Now, I know he was pure dog shit in his final year in Philadelphia, but if you go back, he really didn't have that impressive of a squad. It was a pretty dog shit squad, and an even bigger pile of dog shit at the helm of that thing. Nick Foles throwing touchdowns. Nick Foles was playing the game like Ichiro plays baseball at that point, and we've seen what Nick Foles has been able to do outside of the Chip Kelly system, and that is like my brother-in-law's sex life, absolutely nothing Absolutely nothing. So if there's somebody who can do something with Colin Kaepernick and turn him into the quarterback that he once was, you might need to keep an eye on the San Francisco 49ers. And, of course, the Arizona Cardinals. Great team, great defense. You got a running game, a great passing game. So at 10-6, I honestly think the division winner here is going to finish no better than 10-6. This division is one that's going to beat the shit out of each other. And, of course, you have Jeff Fisher in St. Louis, you know, the Rams have never finished with more than 7 wins in any of his 4 seasons. Looks like he's got 7-8-1 his first year. Of course, Jeff Fisher would find a way to sneak a tie into the season record there. 7-8-1, 7-9, 6-10, and 7-9. So odds are, you know, if you're playing the game, odds are they're going to win 7 games. Those 7 wins have to come from somewhere. So why not in the division? You know, they seem to have the Seahawks number. Every year they win at least one game against the Seahawks, so you can pretty much mark them down for that. It's kind of like you don't know where that comes from. It's like you just want to tell them, like, hey, if you guys could just get up for a game every single Sunday like you do against the one against the Seahawks where you beat them, it's okay that you split against the Seahawks. It's a good team, but that one that you win, if you could do that every single time, you'd be a hell of a football team. It's just, I don't know where that energy comes from, where that victory comes from on an otherwise shitty team. You know, it's just surprising. It's like almost as surprising as your buddy who's up on a roof in Waukesha. It's 94 and sunny and super humid. And, you know, he's up laying new shingles for 8 hours. And then when he's done, he heads to the softball fields in Saratoga and plays 2 games that night. It's still 87 degrees and humid, even though it's 8 o'clock at night. And the dude pretty much hasn't showered in about 28, 29 hours, and yet he still goes out to McGillicuddy's later on that night and still finds a chick that'll give him a rim job. It's that surprising. It's that kind of surprising that the Rams can always find a way to beat the Seahawks at least once, if not twice, during the regular season. So thank you, Sean, for the call in regards to the NFC West. Again, Sean has the Seahawks winning the division at 10-6, followed by the Cardinals, the 49ers, and Rams. Let's go out to another Sean. Let's go to Sean in Philadelphia. Let's see how Chip Kelly's former team is looking this year so far. Sean?
Sean Green here with the latest from Eagles camp. Looks like we're fucked. None of our receivers can catch the ball. Still have Sam Bradford as their starting quarterback. Carson Wentz showed some promise in his preseason debut. Unfortunately, he's out with a hairline rib fracture. Chase Daniels looks like a horrible piece of garbage, their second string quarterback. I'm just really worried about the offense. Looks like we're going to be out our starting right tackle, Lane Johnson, for at least 10 games because the guy couldn't figure out how to read a supplement label, or so he claims. So the offensive line not looking good and the receivers not looking good. We did just trade for DGB, Dorial Green Beckham. So, unless he turns out to be the better of the Beckham brothers, they're not related, but come on, they got to be somewhat related. They're both named Beckham. I think we're going to be in trouble offensively. I am excited about the defense, I got to be honest. I'm pretty jacked about the defense. Fletcher Cox moving into a 4-3 defense. He's just been shredding it everywhere. And who doesn't love a good Cox? So I'm excited about the Eagles defense. I think that's what's going to hold our season. That's what's going to keep us in games. And if they can get some turnovers, they might be able to pull something out. I got them going 8-8 right now, but not optimistic about Doug Peterson as a coach. So we'll see. Hanging in there. Haven't jumped off the ledge yet, but I'm slowly walking up to the ledge. Not going to kill myself yet, but I'm not going to put away the gun. So here I am, breaking down the Eagles camp. All right, Tommy, have a good one.
Thanks to Sean Green for that live look-in from Eagles camp. Of course, you can catch Sean Green on the Sports Gambling Podcast. Find him on Twitter, @GamblingPodcast. He's also got the Sean Green Sports Show. He's involved in a show on MTV. I mean, the guy's doing everything. Unbelievable stand-up comic. Make sure you check him out. It's Sean Green, the comedian. Again, Sports Gambling Podcast. Find him on Twitter, @GamblingPodcast. You know, he's not real excited, and I'll tell you what, for Sean Green not to be excited about the Eagles this season, that says a lot. Usually he's pretty excited about the Eagles, and they finish, 6-9. You know, he predicts them to just run away with the division at 13-3, and they finish 6-9. So if he's not excited about them, 1-15 is possible. However, things are looking up for Philadelphia. For starters, Sunday, September 11th, they open up at home against the Browns. That's going to tell us a lot right there. For starters, that's Doug Peterson's former team. Of course, you know, Doug Peterson, a pure genius, just offensive genius. I mean, the dude was smart enough to take the best backup quarterback position in the world. I'll take $1 million to sit behind the most durable quarterback the game has ever seen. So Doug Peterson gets to go up against one of his other former teams, the Browns, at home, and that's going to tell you a lot, man. You win that one, and you might be able to put away the gun, Sean, for a long time. If not, it might be time to load it up all the way, every single one, every single chamber. You might want to think about making sure it's full. So Sunday, September 11th, the Eagles start their 2016 season against the Browns, and then they get the Bears on the road. They're home against the Steelers, and then they're at the Detroit Lions. It really wouldn't be that much of a long shot to say that the Eagles have a chance at starting 3-1. And if that's the case, oh, baby, you might see just a mini population boost 9 months after Sunday, October 9th, thanks to a 3-1 start for the Philadelphia Eagles. Another thing that the Eagles have in their favor is that they get two games against the Dallas Cowboys, just like they do every single year. And speaking about them Cowboys, how about them Cowboys? Let's check in with our resident Jew, Adam Ferberg, notorious Dallas Cowboys fan. Adam, how are the Cowboys looking this year, buddy?
This is Adam Ferberg delivering a special report from the Los Angeles Coliseum, Cowboys at Rams. I have yet to even make it to my seat. I am stuck in the flesh-on-flesh sea of human beings, stuck between the 10 feet between the gate and the seating area. It's like this place was designed for it to seat 90-plus thousand people, and yet all the corridors and all the concessions and the bathrooms are really used to be meant by maybe 6 or 7 people at a time. So it's a real shit show down here. I do have a report from the game, just things I've heard as I've been stuck in all these people. Apparently, Dak Prescott does look very good as a starter, potential replacement for Romo in the future for the Cowboys. Threw a couple touchdown passes to Terrence Williams and a circus catch by Dez Bryant in the corner. One thing to be known, though, the Cowboys still being the Cowboys, you can argue that this was a preseason game, and it does not matter, but in classic Cowboys fashion, they lead the entire game and lose with 1 minute to go. So, Jared Goff for the Rams was knocked out of the game with a shoulder. He got popped and threw a pick, so really good-looking future for the Rams there. This guy, Mayfiant or Marriott or what the hell his name is, really got the Cowboys at the end. Third string on third string. A lot of guys getting cut this week. Anyway, that's just my tale from what I've heard from people. I've yet to make it to my seat. This is Adam Ferberg, stuck in a sea of people from the L.A. Coliseum. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you, Tommy.
It's just great stuff there from Adam Ferberg. You can find him on Twitter with the not-so-creative Twitter handle of @AdamFerberg, F-E-U-E-R-B-E-R-G, @AdamFerberg, the Daily Upper Deckers resident Jew, and just huge, huge Cowboys fan. He's also taking some shots at the Rams in there. You know, there's a lot of us comics who are living out in Los Angeles, and a lot of us aren't from Los Angeles, and we're really, really setting the Rams up on a tee and swinging as hard as we can with our driver and just crushing them in the giblets, 300 yards down the fairway. There are some, not very many, Los Angeles comics who are actually excited to see the Rams come back home and throw around the pigskin a little bit. And one of those comics is one of the funniest up-and-coming comics in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Ralph Guerra. Ralph, what's your take on the Rams this year, buddy?
Being an L.A. Rams fan is great. Jared Goff has the body of someone who peaked in high school. and stammers play calls like he's asking a girl on a date. But it's going to be a great 8-8 season. It's going to be solid. Eight wins, eight losses. What Jeff Fisher is great at. Go Rams.
Ralph Garrett, ladies and gentlemen. You can find him on Twitter with the Twitter handle at Ralph Comedy. Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, for those of our listeners who are retarded. 50%, that's one of our two listeners, having struggles of the mental kind. We'll spell out Ralph for you. At Ralph Comedy, that's Ralph Garrett, Rams fan. I feel like we had to get that in there. I felt like we were like pushing a kid in a wheelchair down the stairs with the L.A. Rams there. It's their first season back in Los Angeles in like 20-some years, so why not? Why not? Let's get a comic in there who enjoys the Rams, but at least he's a realist, knowing that 8-8, just like we said in the beginning, just 8-8 is more than likely the peak for that team. Expecting anything more would be uncivilized. Let's get back to the NFC East. We quickly broke away from that. We actually have a Redskins fan who listens to the show. Our good pal Neil, buddy, hey, buddy, Neil, buddy, buddy, hey, buddy, 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 Neil, buddy, 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 hey, buddy, Neil, buddy, hey, buddy, Neil, buddy, hey, buddy, is a Redskins fan, and he's feeling pretty good about the Redskins. Listen to what Neil has to say about his boys in our nation's capital. Neil, what you got for us, buddy?
Hey, Tommy, this is Neil, buddy, 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 calling in with a couple of predictions for the Washington Redskins, a.k.a. Deadskins, 2016 season. And let's face it, there haven't been a lot of reasons to sing hail to the Redskins since 1991. And that was the last time they actually saw the Super Bowl and actually beat the Buffalo Bills. But it looked pretty solid last year with the division win, even though it was the lowly NFC East, once a powerhouse, now probably the weakest division in the NFL. But it was a 9-7 finish, a little bit of a roller coaster. But, of course, we ended up getting a beat down by the Green Bay Packers in the first round of the playoffs. But believe it or not, they're going to win the division again. Probably wishful thinking, but the only real competition is the Cowboys this year. The rest of the teams are weak. Giants look anemic, and Philadelphia can't get their shit together. And their offense, at least the Cowboys' offense, totally dependent on Romo. And what are the chances of him being healthy? I mean, the guy's got paper mache back and paper mache collarbone, so probably about as likely as RG3 coming back as quarterback for the Skins. Cousins is going to earn his franchise tag with a strong receiving core and Jordan Reed at tight end, so he's looking good. Jones at running back is going to be able to fill the departing Morris's shoes, even though he's gone to the Cowboys. I think that Jones is going to be looking good. And on D, looks like Josh Norman is going to be running the secondary, kind of like Richard Sherman in Seattle, so we're looking strong there. I think Redskins going to finish 11-5 with a deep run into the playoffs, losing to the Cardinals in the conference championship. Those are my predictions. Take it easy.
That's beautiful stuff there. That's Washington Redskins blowhard. Neil, buddy, I like that.
You like that?
I do like that. I love how he went into such detail about everybody who's going to be on the team. You know, Josh Norman on defense, that's a huge addition, but he kind of went through the offense. And the way Neil Buddy talks about that Redskins offense, you'd like to believe that, you know what, shit, yeah, I could see them going to the conference championship. And then you take a drink of your Miller Lite, and you're like, nah, there's no way that's going to happen. Dan Snyder at the helm. And the one thing the Redskins do have going for them is that they play in the NFC East. So that means, technically, you know, like he said, 9-7 won the division last year. This is a division where winning the division with a 7-9 record isn't out of the question. So is anything possible for the Redskins? Yes. 11-5 in the conference championship? Yeah, not so much. Not really feeling that. One thing I am feeling, though, and he brought it up, is the fact that Matt Jones is the main man at running back this year for the Washington Redskins with Alfred Morris moving on. And one thing I like about Matt Jones is that these fucking dorks over at the four-letter Matthew Berry and Eric Carabell. None of these guys have him in their like sleeper, you know, radar. So he's like in maybe the high 20s as like the running back you have to have. There's like 20 some running backs in front of him. And I thought that it was pretty obvious with Alfred Morris that any running back in Washington is going to get used more than Jennifer Love Hewitt, right? So as long as Matt Jones, who on paper is an unbelievable stud and he showed, you know, flashes of brilliance last year, as long as he can hold on to the football, because right now he seems to have an issue holding on to that thing. It's like the girl in high school, you know, the first one that you put your cock and balls in her hands for the first time, and it's little slippery, little trouble holding on to that thing. That's Matt Jones right now, little trouble holding on to the pigskin. So if they can teach him to hold on to the football, he's going to be great. So I like where Neil Buddy was going with Matt Jones on the Washington Redskins. And hey, we got another caller, somebody else who wants to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And as long as we're in the NFC East, let's go to the funniest Indian guy that we know. And we're not saying that just because he's the only Indian guy we know. Ladies and gentlemen, huge Dallas Cowboys fan, Kenner Shaw. Kenner Shaw's on the line. Kenner, what's your take on the boys this year?
Another year, another season. Dallas Cowboys are back. Yes, they're still in the league. They're still competing. And they are America's team. America's Cowboys. So, let's focus on the pros coming up here. 2016 season. Well, sometimes you're good just based on who you surround yourselves with. The rest of the NFC East is just a fucking mess. So, that is one of the biggest pros the Cowboys have going for them right now. Is just the level of competition they have around them. Healthy guys. Pro number two. Romo, Dez, Zeke, Sean Lee, Orlando Scandrick. List goes on. We're actually starting a season with starters, which is quite interesting. Not used to that. Number three, very excited about this one. I don't think anyone will be arrested this season because all the arrests seem to have been made in the offseason this year. So that's good. Get that out of the system early so then we can actually just play when the year starts. Few cons, of course. Can't have the pros without the cons. We don't exactly have an elite coaching staff, for one. Expect a lot of timeouts in the first and third quarter, and expect a lot of third and 18 runs. All right. Every year, the hype. That's one of the biggest. I hate the hype every year they go in. Just this last week, Dak Prescott played one game, just his first game, and now people are acting like he should be a starter on any other team in the league. This is how it begins, and this is when they implode. All right. Another con. I don't like it when players are older than I am. That's not good. I know how easily I injure. And too many vets on the team. Need more young guys. But hey, it's the Cowboys.
Not a lot of positivity out of either of our Cowboys fans here at the Daily Upper Decker. We've got Adam Ferberg and, of course, our funny Indian man, Kenner Shaw. Or if you ask anybody from Texas, our funny Mexican man, Kenner Shaw. Neither of them real high on the Cowboys' chances this year. So, I mean, if you look at that defense, you know, it's not like they did anything to fix that. And last year that defense was easier to score on than Alyssa Milano if you have at least 2 years of major league service. So, yeah, not real high on the Cowboys, I guess. Not real high on the Eagles. Sean Green doesn't like the Eagles' chances. Neil Buddy, maybe he's right with the Redskins there, because I'll tell you what, I'm definitely not high on the Giants. Not after Odell Beckham took a Kardashian to Pound Town in the offseason. Everybody knows that is just a recipe for disaster. So who knows? It's the NFC East. I think we should move on to another division, because if you want to hear more about the NFC East, all you have to do is just turn on ESPN sometime, anytime during the NFL season, and every minute of every day you'll be able to catch somebody somewhere talking about the NFC East. So let's move on to a division that actually matters, like the NFC North. And with us on the line right now, we've got Derry from Chicago at Bears Camp. Derry, how are things looking in the Windy City, buddy?
Hey, what's going on there, Daily Upper Decker? This is Terry Jaglarski calling you from Bourbon Ace here at the Bears training camp. Every year I come to this with the wide eyes and all, but this year, not good so far. I mean, we lost the center, Ronnie Grassi, or however the hell you pronounce his name. I think he's French. He's got an ACL. It's almost like you need four Kyle Longs on the line. The guy's a warrior, but besides him, there's nothing else there, you know. This Kevin White kid, he missed a whole year last year. He comes out at the draft in Chicago. He's fucking the mayor. And now then the guy can't say, he got a shin. And so anyway, he's supposed to be looking good. He's clicking with Cutler. Cutler's doing the yoga lattes, so he's been looking good. He's got a nice haircut and all. He's been bringing his kids and his trophy wife around camp, I guess. So that's good. I was really looking forward to seeing Zach Miller back. He signed a nice little contract. Now he's got a concussion. John Fox don't know what's going on with him. You know, one day he's fine, the next day he's seeing stars. I got to be honest, like any Bear fan, I'm super enthusiastic going into the year every year, but I still think we're a year or two away. Vikings got better. Packers are always going to be, good as long as the Fag Rogers is there. I got the Bears 6-10 at best, to be honest with you, Tom. I know some of the Daily Upper Decker listeners are big Chicago fans, but I'm not feeling very optimistic. All right, guys, have a great season. Going to go grab a rib, and I'll talk to you. Go Bears!
You know, that might be the most positive we've ever had. We've ever heard Terry give a prediction of 6-10, which I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, in Chicago, that can mean only one thing, and that's that the Cubs are playing good baseball right now, because it's almost like Bears fans don't even care that the fact that their team is going to be pure dog shit again this year. As long as the Cubs are winning 90-some games and getting to the Fall Classic, I really don't think Chicago's really going to care how Jay Cutler and the Bears do. But just to make sure, let's check in with another one of our resident Bears fans, one of the funniest men in Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, comedian Brady Matthews. He's been on the Daily Upper Decker a couple of times. Of course, you can go back and listen to him on all of our previous Daily Upper Decker podcasts, which you can find at dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Daily Upper Deck. Brady Matthews, what are you thinking about the Bears this year, buddy?
Hey, Tommy, it's Brady Matthews to recap the Chicago Bears. Well, it looks like the Chicago Bears had a joint practice with the New England Patriots because, of course, why not? That always seems to be a good idea. Except the only problem is there was a huge fight with Alshon Jeffrey with one of the quarterbacks that I'm sure was from, like, Appalachian State or was, like, a fifth-round pick, and now they're going to be a Super All-Star. So the Bears lost 22-0 in their home opener as well. As they should have, because they looked like crap on defense. Again, our secondary is paper thin. Callahan got burnt by one of the wide receivers, and the secondary looks terrible. Other than that, Jay Cutler looked like his usual self on the sidelines in practice today. Not talking to anyone, stupid head movements every 2 seconds, and disengaged. So can't wait for the upcoming season, and can't wait to see how bad we're going to lose the Patriots on Sunday. I'm such a positive Bears fan, but actually I'm just realistic. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Nothing's going to make Packers and Vikings fans happier than hearing two Chicago Bears fans talk about how dog shit their team is going to be this year. Just pure dog shit. 6-10 tops. And speaking of Vikings fans, we've got the one and only Teddy Westside on the line, ladies and gentlemen, here to talk about his Queens. Teddy, talk to me. Vikings, can they repeat as NFC North champions or what?
Hey, Gimler. Teddy Westside here. Listen, with my report from the Minnesota Vikings, it's the 2015 Vikings as being a disappointment because they actually were very, very good. Better than they should have been, maybe. I wrote at the end of last season how they missed that kick by Blair Walsh hit me right in the ball sack. But the fact that they are even there should have been praised. The scariest thing a Vikings fan this year as opposed to last year is that people expect the Vikings to do well. Knowing ESPN's track record, I hope those dickholes keep picking... No, because that means the Vikings actually have a great shot at making the Super Bowl. Unlike any other team, when you start to talk about the Vikings, but with their running back, Adrian Peterson, who luckily, as far as we know, hasn't beaten his kids this year. If he does play a full season, who is going to really bet against another rushing title? Of course, Goodell might try to find something on him to to suspend him a la Tom Brady. Speaking of quarterbacks, Bridgewater's throwing deep balls now. He uncorked a 50-yarder in the air for the first preseason game, which was an awesome thing to see. The defense is really good again. Anthony Barr is a superstar. People look at and talk about, like, oh, Luke Kuechly and Navarro Bowman and all these other guys. Anthony Barr will be talked about a lot this year. What makes the Vikings defense so damn good? Well, that's pretty simple. In a pussified version of football where no one hit, the Vikings not only hit people, but actually tackle them. The second part, the actually tackle them part, is the important part. Who would have thought that tackling in the NFL would actually matter someday again? The last part, Mike Zimmer, dude is awesome. He does not give a fuck about you or your media circuits or any other shit. That guy is here to win Super Bowls. And when it comes down to it, the Vikings have not had a coach that had the temperament or the knowledge to even possibly win a Super Bowl since, I don't know, probably Bud Grant. It sure as fuck wasn't Mike Tice. Anyways, overall prediction, 10-6 for the playoff berth. Their stadium will be the nicest modern stadium in all of sports. Adrian Peterson will win the rushing title, and Anthony Barr will be first-team all-defensive player. All of this, of course, barring injury. Kim, eat up on my ball sack. Peace.
We'll have to apologize for Teddy Westside's cell phone cutting out a couple of times there in his rant. Could be because the Vikings are up in Canada this year for training camp, or maybe some asshole Vikings fan took out a cell tower outside of Mankato. But either way, I think what he has to say is pretty straightforward. You know, maybe people might be expecting a little too much from the Vikings this year, but on a positive note, at least Adrian Peterson was able to make it through the offseason without beating his kids. You know, and that defense, they're good defense because in this pussified version of the NFL, they actually tackle the old way, the way you're supposed to. And it's probably going to help lead to them being one of the better defenses in the league again this year. And of course, it's a league that is run by professional cocksucker Roger Goodell.
Said cocksucker. Right.
He just said you're a cock.
That's all he said about you.
Now, come on. Dig into that fondue, you little cocksucker.
I mean, once again, Führer Goodell is looking to put his stamp on the game based on a report that has absolutely no merit. Even the guy in the Al Jazeera report that named Peyton Manning, Clay Matthews, James Harrison, Mike Neal, Julie Peppers, even the guy who named them in the report no longer stands by his story. Al Jazeera America has folded, doesn't even exist anymore, yet Roger Goodell still wants to go after Green Bay's Clay Matthews and Julie Peppers. So they have until August 25th to interview with the league. If they don't, Goodell says that he will suspend them indefinitely. So one thing to look at here in the NFC North is whether or not those interviews – how those interviews turn out, whether or not Matthews or Peppers are forced to miss any games, because it's definitely a possibility. Tom Brady did nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. It was a concocted story by Chris Mortensen at the Four Letter, and Tom Brady's missing four games to start out the 2016 NFL season because Roger Goodell wants to show everybody that he was right. And speaking of those Patriots, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump ship from the NFC North to the AFC East, where our good boy Ryan up in Bastion is looking to talk about the Patriots. Ryan, how are the Patriots going to look this year?
Hey, Tut. This is Ryan Sullivan here reporting on the Patriots over at Foxborough today. Checked out some of the practice. Big news. Gronk is out. It was a little hamstring injury, but I think he's going to be all right. But Martellus Bennett, this guy is a beast. He's been training with Jay Glazer at that fucking Broncos gym in Hollywood with the rock trains and shit. Man, dude is an animal. Edelman, though, looks vintage, man. That guy runs routes that are super crisp. Malcolm Butler got in a fight the other day. So did fucking Brian Stork, bro. Both those guys are feisty. Jamie Collins, man. Who's going to be a monster this year? Man, Shaq Mason? Bro, that offensive line isn't going to be bad as long as they can avoid some injuries. Ninkovich, he's out, but fucking Chris Long is a beast, dude. He's on a team that's finally worth a shit. All anyone wants to talk about, though, is Jimmy Garoppolo and how he's going to be. You know what? Nobody really knows, man. I mean, his preseason game, he looks passable, but, I mean, he threw zero touchdowns, but more importantly, zero interceptions. Thing is, when Brady comes back, though, watch the fuck out. He's going to rip people apart. In other news, though, Aaron Hernandez, that piece of shit, is going to go on trial February 13th. That's about it. Bye.
Oh, big thanks to Ryan Sullivan calling in from Boston. Talking like he's got two cracks in his mouth this week. Way to go, Ryan. Thanks a lot for that update from Patriots camp. Ryan's still very high on the Patriots, and if you're a Patriots fan, you have to be. I mean, until they're actually dethroned in the AFC East and, you know, in the NFL for that matter, there's I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to bet against them. Tom Brady misses four games. I'm still not going to bet against them. They're the New England Patriots. And, of course, we can't do a round the NFL discussion without mentioning the perhaps the biggest rival of the New England Patriots these days, the Denver Broncos, the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, the Peyton Manningless Denver Broncos. We actually have three Daily Upper Decker correspondents live at Broncos camp this week. Let's check in with Chad first. Chad from Broncos camp. How's Denver looking so far, buddy?
Hey, Dud. This is Chad from Broncos country. If you're wondering what the Broncos are up to, and how we're going to be doing this year, can we repeat? I'm going to say to you, who gives a shit? We have a Super Bowl trophy. We won with a quarterback who couldn't throw a fart over a pillow. So you're telling me, oh, no, Mark Sanchez, what are you going to do, Paxton Lynch? I don't care. We have a great defense. Our offense, we're going to run the ball, throw the ball. I don't care who does it. Tommy, you could come out here and play quarterback for our team. I'm pretty sure we're going to win eight games. So if you're telling me that the Raiders are going to step up or if the Chiefs are even going to beat us, no. Those two teams can go suck a dick. The Raiders go back to raping, pillaging, whatever did you do with your sisters. The Chiefs go back to being culturally offensive on your own terms. We don't care. We won last year. Super Bowl trophy is ours. The shine is on. I really, really, really don't even want to debate how good we're going to be. It doesn't matter. We are the champions. Play the music. Drop the banners. Look at our freaking rings. You can suck it, rest of the NFL. You can all play about what if. I don't care. We did win. You guys can all try to play catch up, but you don't have our defense, and you don't have what we have, which is shine. So have a good day. Enjoy your Daily Upper Decker scissoring podcast with Tommy and whatever hobos he finds to put on the air with him. Have a good day. Bye.
I'm going to be honest. Chad had us at couldn't throw a fart over a pillow. I was all ears at that point on. And I got to be honest with him. I agree. You know, even if you're a Broncos fan, there has to be a sense of if things start going south in a hurry with Mark Sanchez at the quarterback, which, you know, by the looks of things, it probably will and it probably should. But if it goes south, there has to be that element of who cares. We won last year. It's all right. We'll take a year off. We'll get this this Peyton Lynch kid up to speed and see if he can turn into the next Johnny fucking Elway or whoever. But there has to be that level of who cares, because I'll tell you what, you're not going to get sympathy from any other fans around the league, you know, especially Patriots fans, especially Panthers fans. You're not going to get any sympathy from them. So I'm all right with the who cares mentality. But let's see if one of our other correspondents at Broncos camp has something else to say about the defending Super Bowl champs. Let's go to the fabulous T-Shawn. T-Shawn, what's up, baby?
Howdy, Dead fans. The fabulous T-Shawn here, coming direct from Broncos camp. Beside me, oh, there he is. I'm sure you can hear him, but beside me is Thunder, the tremendous Arabian stallion that patrols hallowed Mile High Stadium. I will say I do feel a little bad for his handler, though, because by the looks of things, he's really packed. Plus, easy boy. Plus, by the looks of it, he sure eats well. Is there some on my shoe? Nice. Okay, well, the big story, hey, Thunder, big story, of course, is the three-headed QB situation. You've got Mark Dirty Sanchez putting his veteran stink on the situation. You got last year's brainy, seventh-round pick, the upstart Trevor Siemian, suddenly the what-the-fuck number one contender for the job. And, of course, the giant first-rounder the Donks traded up to get, Paxton Lynch. Now, I don't really want to know the origin of that last name, but he has of late shown some encouraging stuff out on the field. Quite frankly, I enjoy all of their unique and interesting stories, so whomever is anointed the starter is all right by me. Because Well, on the defensive side, once again, it's going to be fucking Miller time all the time. The fabulous T-Shawn and Thunder signing off from Mile High. Hey, Ronnie? Ron? No, Reggie? Reggie, can you get me a Coors and some oxygen, please?
I mean, what can you say about that? The fabulous T-Shawn reporting live from Broncos camp with the fabulous Thunder as well. You know, he's talking about the starting quarterback situation, Peyton Lynch, Paxton Lynch. I think the proper way to pronounce it this year is going to be who gives a shit. You know, I think you're gonna see Mark Sanchez, Dirty Sanchez, as he called it, hold things down. But it's an interesting take, you know, just like Chad, the fabulous T-Shawn thinks that defense is good enough to take them back to the promised land, and why not? We've seen, you know, worse defenses put their offenses on their backs and carry them around like Thunder did last year. So, great report from the fabulous T-Shawn. We have one more live from Broncos camp, ladies and gentlemen. Let's check in with the one and only Adam Pokross. Adam, how goes it?
Hi, this is Adam Pokross from Broncos camp. Actually, for the dud, this is Adam Pokross for the dud from Broncos camp. I'm actually not at Broncos camp. I am in my bathroom. I am taking a shit. And this is a quality time to discuss the Denver Broncos. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's all butter. It's all butter from here. It's all gravy butter. Butter with gravy on a slab of toast. But good toast, like King's Hawaiian roll. Might as well throw some chicken teriyaki on that as well. And maybe a side of Kahlua pork and cabbage. But I'm talking Broncos, and what we really, you know, that starts with the Denver defense. Everything else is relative. If we can keep our guys healthy, I see no reason why we can't face fuck the rest of the league yet again. Because face-fucking is what that Denver D is all about. Big, big-time face-fuckers, these guys. Ask Cam Newton. You know what name you hear a lot that you don't hear a lot? You hear Von Miller all the time. You know Von Miller. But let's talk Shaq Barrett. Let's talk Shane Ray. These are the guys who are going to be taking the double teams. You know, there's going to be double teams on Von Miller. There's going to be some space opened up for these guys. And these guys are as quick to the quarterback. Well, maybe half step far, but whew, man, there's a lot of speed on that Denver defense. So, you know, it's a lot of the same faces, a lot of the big-time face-fuckers you already know. But who's it going to be at quarterback? That's everybody's big question. That's what everybody keeps coming at me with. You know, oh, boy, what are you going to do with the quarterback situation? I don't know if Broncos can repeat this year because the quarterback, hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who we put out there because we have a defense of very strong face-fuckers, a very strong face-fucking defense. And that is first and foremost. So, you know, whoever we put out, quarterback, yeah, Mark Sanchez, he's kind of a joke. But remember, he did have good days, the very run-centric, you know, spot there in New York. When he didn't have to do much, he was good at not doing much. So, you know, he could run things. But I don't think he's going to get the starting nod. I think that's going to go to Trevor Siemian. Big guy, cannon of an arm, can run, smart Northwestern grad. You know, I just like what I see. I liked him last preseason. He looked really good. That's it. I think I'm done.
I think we need to send a shout out to whoever decided to call our dud correspondent at Broncos camp, Adam Pokross, at that exact moment. Something tells me he was going to go through every single guy on the roster and tell us about how awesome he was. So it's more the same at Broncos camp. It seems all of our correspondents feel the same way, that it doesn't matter who gets that starting quarterback position because they have a, quote, face-fucking, unquote, defense that's going to lead them back to the promised land. Will it happen? I mean, only time will tell, or will they be in for a bigger surprise than a guy who takes home Caitlyn Jenner and doesn't know the full story? I mean, who knows? Trying to predict who's going to go all the way every NFL season is harder than finding a family in central Pennsylvania that doesn't have a kid with Downs. you know, but we do have somebody on the line who thinks his team, his beloved team, is going to go all the way. Let's check in with Pat Healy, who's live at Niners camp. Better late than never, Pat. What's going on up there, buddy?
Hey, guys. This is P.R. Healy calling in with some ideas on what you might expect this season from the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, last year was a fairly disastrous year, probably because we were hosting the Super Bowl. And with that out of the way, I don't see any reason why we can't go all the way this year. May not do it with defense, may not do it with the offense. I think we're going to do it with Chip Kelly's cue cards.
Well, there you have it, folks. It's not going to be the offense. It's not going to be the defense that leads the Niners to the promised land this year. It's going to be Chip Kelly's cue cards. Crazy? Sure. But, hell, we've seen crazier things even earlier, just earlier this week. You go to Wrigley Field. DJ gets fired. The second-string DJ at Wrigley Field gets fired after playing Smack My Bitch Up as Cubs closer Aroldis Chapman leaves the mound in the ninth inning. Of course, Aroldis Chapman missed 30 games to begin the 2016 MLB season because of a domestic violence issue. Even crazier than him getting suspended for 30 games is the fact that he wasn't charged for it. So you go ahead and try and figure that one out. So Chip Kelly's cue cards leading the Niners to the promised land. Crazy? Sure. But like I said, we've seen crazier things. And that's exactly what we're going to leave you with this week here on the Daily Upper Decker, this crazy clip from Great Britain. Again, check us out every single day on dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and on the Vine. The kids seem to be loving this Vine. Everybody's taking short videos and throwing them up on Vine, and the Daily Upper Decker is no different, so check us out there as well. Again, we're going to leave you with this crazy clip from England. If you've never heard of this guy or never seen him, I had never seen him before this clip surfaced, but it's one of the funniest clips I've ever seen. Apparently he does it all the time, with his fiance Jenny, who's a smoking hottie, by the way, which probably has something to do with why she can't grasp the fact that she'll never be able to run a 100 meter dash in 7 seconds or 7.5 seconds for that matter. So that's what this clip is. They're watching the Olympics. And Jenny thinks she can run the 100-meter dash in 7 seconds or 7.5 seconds, either way. And here's Brad telling her why she cannot run it in 7 seconds and probably will never run the 100-meter dash in 7 seconds. The big reason being Usain Bolt, the fastest man on the planet, his fastest time is 9.58 seconds, but Jenny from England thinks she can run the 100-meter dash in 7 or 7.5 seconds, and that's what we're going to leave you with here this week on the Daily Upper Decker.
You can't do that, man.
I can do it, Brad.
You can't do it.
Why can't I?
Jen, you cannot run 100 metres in under 7 seconds.
I didn't say under seven, did I? I said 7.5.
You can't do that, Jen.
Yeah, Brad. Oh, my God. If it's 100 metres, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll be able to run that in probably about 7.5 seconds.
How the fuck can you run 100 metres in 7 seconds?
How the hell can you not? The metres that long, yeah? I need to run 100
metres. Metres that long? That's a metre ruler.
What?
Yeah, what? How long's a metre ruler?
Well, the ruler's that shape, so it's a metre.
Yeah, yeah, you reckon you could do that? 100 of them is 100 metres.
Yeah, yeah, so 100 of them, Brad. I will be able to do that in about 7.5 seconds.
No, you won't.
Why can't I?
Jen, the world record's 9.52 or 5.8 or something like that.
Well, they've got slow people running it.
They're athletes.
Oh, them slow athletes then.
How are they slow athletes? You're telling me little Jenny Davies from Portsmouth could beat Usain Bolt in a race?
Did he beat 7.5 seconds?
No.
Well then, obviously I can do that.
No, you can't, Jen.
Right. Mate. I can't cope with you any longer.
Jen, you cannot do 100 metres in 7.5 seconds.
Do you know how long... Right, so a metre, Brad, yeah, like I keep telling you, is about this long, yeah? And 100 of them, I will be able to do that in about 7.5 seconds.
You cannot run 100 metres in 7.5 seconds, Jen.
It's stressing me out now.
Have you even been watching the Olympics?
Yeah, have you?
Yeah. So what are you going on about? You should know you can't do that.
I looked at and watched the races and I thought, well, I could do that. I'd do it faster than that.
No, you couldn't.
Yes, I can,
Jen. You can, Jen.
Oh, I ain't going to talk to you about that any longer. You're annoying me.
You can't run 100 metres in 7 seconds.
We'll see then, won't we? And I will go and I will win it for my country then. Hmm? Who are you betting on? What country are you betting on to win?
Betting on what?
Country to win the fucking Olympics, Brad.
What are you talking about?
With the Olympics, yeah?
Yeah.
You have a winner at the end and they choose which country when they...
What do you mean they choose what country?
When they count up all the medals, Brad.
They don't do that. You don't have one outright winner.
Well, what? Of course you do, idiot. I've seen it. You want to just give everyone medals and that's it. See you later.
You don't have...
Going back to England. No. You come home once you've won it for your country.
You don't count all the medals up and there's one big winner.
Are you stupid? Of course there is. Otherwise there'd be no point doing it.
How do you even know they win?
What are you on about?
Well, how do you know?
Win what?
The Olympics.
Well, they count up all the medals.
Yeah?
Yeah? And then they win, and they go at the end, and then the winning country picks up the flame, and then when they take it home, and they run around their country with it to celebrate their win of the Olympics.
What are you on about the flame?
I see it, because it happened. The flame was in Portsmouth, because England had won it before.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.